Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of our guests that are with us today. You know, with the sound stuff that was going on, which never happens, I know that what Rachel's going to preach is going to be awesome. Get that kind of disruption. Something's going on. It's good to see everyone. I do want to remind you about our stickers. Start the conversation. I know some of you, you don't put stuff on your car or your windshields, but those of you who do and those who don't, maybe you could do it for just a little while and then scrape it off, okay? But start the conversation. It doesn't have our name on it. It just has this. You'd be surprised how many people see that and then they go looking for it. And start the conversation. I have people who will stop me. What does that mean back there? And you get the opportunity to share with them about North Elevation Church. You can share the story that we were portable and in the middle of a pandemic, God gave us a building. So, you know, God is a faithful, faithful God. And we are so blessed here at NEC to have the building that we have today. This lady right here in the blonde, I don't know you, but the Lord spoke to me during worship and he gave me Psalms 20, verse 4. Said that you're fixing to transition and you're about to walk through a threshold. And the Father is saying to you today that what he's about to do is to give you those desires of the deepest realms of your heart. And you're fixing to walk through that threshold into those things. He said he's going to bless your plans. He said it's going to be just like a fresh, new spring day. That's what it will feel like as you step into it. And it won't matter everything that's been going on around you or has happened. It will take place and it will be a refreshing to you and those around you. But God is about to do what he's promised. When Rachel walked through the door here some time back, and came around the corner at a high speed rate on her short legs to me, came over to me. As she was coming, God began to speak to me prophetically as she was walking towards me. And over the past weeks and months, Pastor Rochelle and I have been sharing with Rachel those things that the Lord dropped into my spirit that I shared with Rochelle, and Rochelle was confirming those things. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit said to me was, Rachel is to preach from this platform. I said, no problem. We can make that happen. That's what God wanted. So today you're going to hear Rachel Harris come and preach God's word because God has a word for you through her. Rachel, would you come?
All right. Well, I did the first job right and I turned the mic on, so that's a good sign. Hello, everyone. I haven't been on a stage or talking through a microphone in about 5 years, so just bear with me, okay, because this is a little nerve-wracking for me. But I know that God is here and he's good, so we can all agree on that, right? Okay, well, it's so good to see all of you, and before we get started, I'd love if you'd just join me in prayer. So, Lord, we just come before you today, and we thank you so much for your goodness, for your faithfulness. Lord, there is no one that is good as you. There's no one that is as faithful as you. And, Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this place. I give you this microphone, and let whatever comes out of my mouth be from your heart, Lord. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So I want to know how many of you took the shortest route to get to church this morning? Shortest route. Great. That's good. Nobody went the extra long way just to enjoy some scenery? My niece, Sophia, is raising both of her hands. Yes, she did. So I would propose to you that none of you actually took the shortest route to get to church this morning because the shortest route is as the crow flies. And I don't see anyone in here with wings this morning, so I don't think that, again, Sophia is raising her hand, so maybe she has wings. And yeah, thank you, Sophia. Hi. So what I want to talk to you about today is taking the shortest route in our minds and what our thought life is and the way that our brain works to get from one point to the other. And this kind of, that illustration actually comes from a man named Donald Miller, who is an American author and speaker. And according to his research, when our brains draw a conclusion about something, they use the least amount of energy to get to that conclusion. How many of you don't like to use a lot of energy when you're doing something, right? How many of you drink coffee to get more energy? That's me. So I actually started being very interested in the way that the mind works a little over a year ago when I was in a car accident where I was hit at 75 miles an hour right on the driver's side, rolled 9 times. How many of you know that your brain's not meant to be jostled around at that speed? And after that, I really struggled with getting my thoughts to go the right way. I spent a lot of time with counselors and different people to try to figure out how to get my brain to work the way that I wanted it to work, because I just couldn't get over the sadness. I couldn't stop replaying seeing the car coming at me, and I sat on the couch for 2 months and didn't really move, and then I decided one day, you know what? I'm going to go start walking. So I walked, and I got to where I would walk anywhere between 8 and 14 miles a day, and that'll happen when you don't have a car. So, and I didn't until February. So I went over a year without a car, and now I'm walking a lot less, but I still love to walk. I just don't have the time for it. So when I would start walking, I would put on podcasts, and I would put on worship music, and I started listening to these podcasts that were talking about changing your mind and changing the way that you think and all of these things. And so I just started to try to get my thoughts to be in the right place, and I would do good for a few days, and then I would go another day and I would have really bad thoughts. And then I discovered a doctor, Dr. Karen Lynn Leaf, and she is a neuroscientist and she's a strong believer, and she explains that our thoughts travel on brain highways called neuropathways. So if you can picture this, picture a hot marble dropping through a block of cheese. So the wider the highway, because the first time that you do it, it's going to take a second, right? But the second time you do it, it's probably going to make it bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the marble just doesn't have any trouble going through. So the wider the highway, the easier it is to repeat the same thought. And the more we repeat the same thought, the wider the physical highways in our brains get. So if you can imagine like a hamster wheel, you can be a hamster wheel in your brain, and it can go for constructive thoughts or destructive thoughts, and you get to choose. See, the devil wants to make us think that we don't have the ability to choose what's going to happen in our brains, right? So you can partner with this thought that nobody loves me, or you can partner with the thought that says, I am fully and perfectly loved just the way that I am. And whichever one you partner with, you're going to make a brain highway that's going to go into that mindset. And I'll be honest, for about 5 years, I partnered with this mindset of, you know what, because I had been told 5 years ago, I was told that my life was going to get worse and worse and worse. And I partnered with that thought. And it created this brain highway that was all destructive thinking. And when you partner with that thought, it's just going to, it's like a monster. It's just going to keep growing and growing and growing, because whatever you feed is what's going to grow. And so I want to challenge all of us today to partner with Jesus in the way that he thinks about us. And that's not something, it's not something that's easy to do. It's not something that's just going to happen. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and be like, you know what? I just have all positive thoughts. Not one negative thought in me today. You know, you're going to go to the mirror and you're going to think, oh crap, I look like this when I wake up in the morning. Instead of, you know what? I am so beautiful. or handsome if you're a guy. You can call yourself beautiful if you're a guy too. It's okay. What'd you say? But the thing is that building a highway, is there anybody who has ever done road construction in the room? Anybody? Okay. Is it easy? No. Right? So whenever you're building anything, but especially when you're building a road, you're not just going to decide, hey, I'm going to build a highway right here. And then the next day, there it is. I wish it worked like that sometimes, but it doesn't. You've got to work at it. You've got to go, and you have to have a plan, and you have to carry out that plan. And sometimes where we get stuck is we'll get a plan, we'll start to carry out the plan, and then we'll stop. And then we'll think that the plan didn't work. And it's not that the plan didn't work, it's that we didn't carry out the plan. It's the ball's in our court, right? So Romans 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." This scripture is one that I have read and memorized over and over and over and over again. And I've always wanted to have a renewed mind, right? And it's not something that you just get one day and then the next day, you know, you don't have to work to keep it. You've got to continue to feed your mind good thoughts. Do you ever, for your physical body, do you eat one day and then decide the next day that you're not going to eat? Maybe sometimes if you're going to fast, sure. Or maybe sometimes if you're like, you know what, I need to lose weight, so I'm not going to eat. Well, that's not going to work, you know. Not eating for a couple days is not going to change your life, right? But the thing is that you've got to, it has to be something that you do on a daily basis. So if you have a renewed mind, I have 5 points. I don't know what to call them. We'll call them points. 5 points that are a sign that you have a renewed mind. There's many, many more, but these are the ones I'm going to do. So the first one is that you're full of hope. The second one is that you live in peace and you don't worry. Your speculations are positive. The third one is you love yourself. How many of you struggle with that one? Be the first to raise my hand. Number 4, you are quick to forgive. Number 5, this is probably one of my favorites, and it's one that I have to continuously remind myself of. You believe in others, and you give them the benefit of the doubt. So these are 5 things. You look at them, and you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. And maybe today you feel like you have all those things, but maybe yesterday you didn't. Or maybe tomorrow you won't feel like that, because maybe tomorrow someone will do something or say something to you that just rubs you the wrong way, and you have a really hard time thinking good thoughts about that person. Because that happens, right? So what I think about having a renewed mind is that it's something that we can't do on our own. You know, you can't, it's not something that we're just going to, well, let's put it this way. How many of you could go build a highway on your own? None of us, right? Or it would take a really long time and you'd have to have some really, really great equipment, and no one wants to wait around for that. We cannot make these neural pathways in our brain, these brain highways, on our own. It's something that we're going to have help, first of all, from God, and second of all, from each other. Because, you know, we're not meant to live life by ourselves. We're meant to live in relationship with other people. And those other people, we are meant to encourage them, and they're meant to encourage us. So if you think about whenever you're going to encourage someone, think about it in the way of, you know what? I'm helping bulldoze this highway in their brain. that's going to help them to get on this path to get to the right conclusion about who they are in Christ. And if we had a world of people that knew who they were in Christ, our world and our country would look a lot different than it does right now. And the thing is, we're not just going to go out and change everyone, right? We've got to start with ourselves. Because, you know, Jesus says, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? I think a lot of us might know that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The second one is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you're going to love your neighbor, guess what you have to do? You have to love yourself. And that's not in a way of, you know, oh, I'm just the best person that has ever walked the planet. It's not like that. It's not this haughtiness. It's this confidence in who God has created you to be. And when you walk around with that confidence, it's actually partnered with humility because you know that it doesn't come from you. It comes from God. And the way to walk around in confidence and not get haughty or arrogant is to be thankful. And we have to be thankful every single day. You know, wake up in the morning and before you get out of bed, thank you, God, for waking me up this morning. Sometimes maybe you don't want to wake up in the morning, but depending on what you do with your life, I guess. But we've got to get to this place where, you know what, I have what I have in my life because of God. And there might be times in your life where you hate everything that you have. But you know what? You didn't get there in a day. So you've got to get rid of those highways that got you to that place and start building a new highway that gets you to the place of, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am called according to God's purpose. So that means that all things are going to work together for my good. Because God loves me. And he has a purpose for my life. So we have to have a plan if we're going to make new highways in our brain. We have to have a plan. And that plan is going to look different for every single person in this room. For me, my plan was to go and walk 8 miles a day. And in that 8 miles, I was filling my head with good things that were from podcasts. Sometimes I would just listen to the Bible on audio and worship music. That was my plan. And there were times that I failed to do that because I would listen to something else, or I would partner with this destructive thought about something that somebody said to me, and I would just start going back down that road. But we have to just turn around, do a U-turn when that happens, and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to go back the other way. A big part of the plan for every single one of us is to meditate. And I want to read to you a scripture from Joshua 1, and it comes from verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Not you might, you will. If you meditate on the word of God and on what he says about you, you not might have success, you will have success. You will prosper. It's not something that is a maybe, it's a guarantee. You know, for a lot of us, what we want to do is we want to do something, right? You always have to be doing something. That's the way that our society has taught us, that we've constantly got to go, 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 right? And if there is one good thing that came from the pandemic, it taught us how to slow down. It taught us that it's okay to stay at home for a few days. I don't think we should stay home for a year, but, you know, it's okay to stay home. But here's the problem, and here's what came with the pandemic, too. It also taught a lot of people to live in fear. And I've thought this for a really long time. The Lord gave me this revelation years ago, and it probably came from a podcast, but I created a highway for it, right? Everything that we do is based out of love or fear. Everything. If you can sit down and you can think about the things that you do in a day, you can think about, oh, I'm doing this because this is out of love, or you're doing this out of fear. And the pandemic taught us to stay home because we were afraid of getting COVID, right? But you know what that did for a lot of people? Created these neural pathways, these highways, so that everything that they do now is out of fear. And it's easy to buy into, right? I mean, I bought into it for a little bit, about an hour. No, I'm just kidding. No, I did. And it, when it happened was when I turned on the TV. Well, actually, I walked into the room where there was a TV on. If you know me, I don't really turn on the TV myself. And the news was on. And it was talking about this huge COVID outbreak. And it was, I don't remember everything that it said, but what I do remember is the way that it made me feel. My heart started racing, and I was like, oh, no. I was in Colorado at the time, and I was like, well, what if I'm not with my family? What if I'm not with the people that I love? And what if I'm just going to die here and I'm going to die alone? And all of these things, right? You just go down this path of destructive thinking, all because you see one thing that causes you to have fear. And you know what we have to say to that?
That is such fake news.
Okay. I'm going to start carrying this around with me. I got it for Christmas. And I love it. So does my niece. I'm going to start carrying this around with me just as a reminder to myself that when I have this thought that is, well, what if this bad thing happens? That I can say, you know what, that's fake. That's not real. And here's the deal. You know, I think that a lot of times we can get in this mindset of, you know, God is this like genie in a bottle, and we can go to him and we can ask him for these things and everything's just going to work out perfectly like we want it to. Guess what? That's not who God is. We're meant to be in a relationship with God, and we're meant to be filled with hope in God that things are going to work out. And we also have to know that this world's not our home. We can make it, like, we can make it great. And, you know, God wants heaven to invade earth. He taught his disciples to pray. You know, we all know the Lord's Prayer. Maybe. I don't know. I guess I can't assume. But our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why would he teach us to pray in a way if he didn't want it to happen? If he didn't intend it to happen, right? But we also have to live in this place where it's like, you know what? Sometimes you pray prayers and things don't work out the way that you want them to. And you still have to be in this place where you know that your hope comes from God. It doesn't come from the prayer that you prayed or the answer that you want to the prayer that you prayed. Your hope comes from God. So then when something happens that you were praying for the opposite for, and this is this is super just fresh for me. You know, like when you pray for someone to be healed and it doesn't happen, are you going to just, okay, well, I guess I can't pray anymore because this didn't happen? You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? But a desire fulfilled, I don't remember the rest, is good. But I know that it's a good thing because the you know, whatever. But our hope cannot be in the thing. It has to be in who we're praying to. Then our hope can't get deferred. Nobody wants to have a sick heart, right? Then where's your hope? If you've got a sick heart, take a look back at yourself and say, you know what? Where's my hope been? Has my hope been in all of these prayers that I've prayed, and now because I haven't had these answers to these prayers that I've prayed, now I don't have any hope anymore? God doesn't want us to live in that place at all. So if we go back to, let me get to this point real quick. Going back to meditate, when we meditate, a lot of us think of, I won't do it right now, but like sitting cross-legged with your, like that. That's how a lot of us think of meditation, right? Meditate, the Hebrew word is actually haggah, H-A-G-A-H, and it means to growl, to speak, utter, to declare. This is the same meditate that we see in Joshua 1:8, where he says, you meditate on my word day and night. It's the same word, meditate, that is found in Isaiah 34, where it says, as a lion growls over his prey. How many of you think that a lion sitting in front of his prey is going to sit there and go, please come to me? No. Okay? It's gonna attack. And that's how we have to be with our minds. We have to say, you know what? No. I'm not gonna allow this destructive thought to make a highway in my brain that's gonna lead me to this conclusion that everything is horrible and God doesn't have a plan for my life. No. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to make a intentional, I'm trying to find the word, hold on. Intentional decision, I guess. You're going to be purposeful about getting to that place in your brain where you say, you know what, I have to do this, I have to think about this thing. I have to think about God loves me. Maybe some of you are like, well, I don't know how to get to that place. Well, you know, in Ephesians 6, whenever Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God, and he talks about putting on the belt of truth, he put the belt covers our reproductive organs, right? So truth reproduces truth. So if all you can think about, all you got to find is one. Find one thing that you want to hold on to, and that thing is going to reproduce itself, and then pretty soon you're gonna know scriptures like you've never known scriptures before. So we've got to learn to meditate. And meditate doesn't mean emptying your mind, it means filling your mind with truth. Amen. The way that God talks about meditation. Maybe not the world, but you know, I may get this quote wrong, but I used to hear from somewhere that an empty mind is the devil's playground. If you're going to empty your mind, so of course the world would want us to do that, right? Would want us to want to teach us to get rid of everything in our mind, because then what's it going to be filled with? Fake news. That's what it's going to be filled with. And we have to get to this place where this Bible, God's word, is more reality than what we see in the news. than the articles that we read when they come to our email because we subscribed to something when we were 5 years old and we don't know how to get rid of it. We have to learn how to be intentional about what we think about. I had a college professor that told me, think about what you're thinking about. Don't just let your mind wander and do whatever it wants to do. Be intentional and say, you know what, I don't really have anything good to think about, so I'm just going to go read the Bible and start saying it out loud. How many of you worry? Oh, good. We have some honest people in here. How many of you think of the worst thing that can happen if you can't get a hold of somebody that you were expecting to be somewhere at the same time? Yep. Someone doesn't answer, oh, what if they drove to the ocean and then they walked in and they got eaten by a shark? They don't even live anywhere close to an ocean. But you're thinking, your mind, you've taught your mind to go to this horrible place, right? And it's not to say that horrible things don't happen. Like, for me, I had to teach myself to not think that every car that was coming towards me when I would get on the highway was going to run into me. And that's a hard thing to do when you've been in an accident. And so maybe some of you haven't been in an accident, but there's been this thing that has happened in your life, and it has taught you, because you've dwelt on it, it has taught you to think that about everything else in your life, that because this situation didn't work out, that this one's not going to work out, and if that one didn't work out, then this one might as well not work out. You see, it's so easy to just go down that path. But we need to learn how to make it easy to go down the path of constructive thinking, of productive thinking, of positive thinking. And it doesn't happen by accident. We have to be intentional. You know, whenever going back to the 5 points, being full of hope, I would like to share a few scriptures with you on this. Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. All of us want to do that, right? We'd love to walk and just be able to keep walking without getting tired, right? The only way that happens is to hope in the Lord. Number two, that you living in peace and not worrying, your speculations are positive. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's in Matthew chapter 6. We have to learn to not be anxious. We have to, or else we're going to live this miserable life where we're constantly thinking about all of these bad things that are going to happen. Most of the time, they're not even like realistic things. And we just think about it. I mean, I think it'd be a lot, you'd live a lot happier of a life if you thought about realistic things or unrealistic things that were positive instead of negative, right? Someone's going to give me $1 million today. Probably not going to happen, but it'd be nice, right? Just start, what? Just start thinking good thoughts, and good things will come in your life. The power is in our hands. We're not powerless. The enemy, the devil, who goes around like a roaring lion, makes us think that we're powerless, but we're not. No, Jesus took the power away from him. So all he has now is a fake badge, right? And it makes us think that he's got power and he doesn't have the power. We have the power. Loving yourself. I already went over the scripture of that. Being quick to forgive. Colossians 3 says, bearing with one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. It's a choice. We have to make the choice. The feeling will follow eventually. Sometimes it may take a while. A long while. But we got to get there. We got to say, you know what? No, I forgave that person yesterday. So I don't have to carry that offense around with me. Joyce Meyer said, unforgiveness is like drinking deadly poison and expecting the other person to die. That's not going to happen. The only person that is hurting when you hold on to an offense is you. In Matthew 18, you got to love Peter. He comes up to Jesus and he says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Because we love to keep count, right? We do. We love to, you know what? This person did this for me. Now I can do that for them, right? We love to keep score on everything, especially if you're competitive. But Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. 70 times 7 or whatever it says. It's a lot. The point that Jesus is making is that it's not about keeping count. It's about forgiving every single time. How many of you are glad that Jesus didn't keep count of how many times he forgave us for something wrong we did? I mess up every single day. Especially, and you know where it starts? We know where the mess up starts is in your mind. When you have the wrong thought process. And the last one, believing in others and giving them the benefit of the doubt. It wouldn't be proper if I didn't reference 1 Corinthians 13 because it's my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It bears all things. And it believes the best in people. It says, you know what? You know, we are the type of people, this is what we do. We judge other people by their actions, but we judge ourselves and expect other people to judge us by our intentions. Why don't we flip that around and say, you know what? What that person just did to me, that really hurt me, but I bet you they didn't intend for that. Because how many of you I've done this so many times. You get in the car and you leave somewhere and you're like, oh no, I hope that what I said didn't come off the wrong way, right? But why don't we think that about other people? Like, I bet you, you know what, they didn't mean to say that I was ugly. No, I'm just kidding. They meant to tell me that I was beautiful. We have to start giving each other some slack. So we've got to have a plan. And that plan involves meditation, the good kind, the filling your mind kind. And then you have to have dedication to the plan. You have to dedicate yourself daily to encouraging yourself and encouraging other people. So I would say, and this is what I'm going to leave you with today, is that we want to build highways in our minds to love and not be easily offended. To build a highway to think the best about others instead of thinking the worst about others. To build a highway of hope, knowing that God works all things together for good. Build a highway that says, I'm a victor, not a victim. Build a highway of love instead of fear. Build a highway of hope instead of distress. Build a highway of faith instead of doubt. You know, I called and was talking to my nanny a few weeks ago, and I was talking to her about faith, and she said, you know what? Faith is greater than reality, okay? And if you're thinking about gravity, what's greater than gravity? If you throw something up, what's going to happen? It's going to fall. Well, the Wright brothers, I think it was them that invented the airplane. Anybody help me out? Okay. When they invented the airplane, they studied and learned about the law of lift. The law of lift defies the law of gravity. And if you think about faith, faith is our law of lift. Faith defies reality. So my prayer and my hope today is that all of us would learn how to make good highways in our brain. Not toll roads either, because nobody likes those. But to make six-lane freeways. Everybody loves six-lane freeways, right? There's just enough room for everyone. Maybe. But to make these wide and wider and wider and wider on a daily basis by filling our minds with good things. Well, I suppose that's all today. And I'm going to invite Pastor Corey back up here. And him and Pastor Rochelle are going to end the service. So I won't make us pray again, because then we're just going to pray again in a minute.
I feel very strongly that the word that she just spoke is a word that we don't sit on. It is a word that we need to actively move on. So why don't you actively move on it right now by standing up. And let's make the decision to stop letting the devil plant fake news in our minds of things that are not real that we've allowed to become real. Let's drive it out today. Let's get in the Word of God. Let's feed our soul life-giving words from God's Holy Bible. Stay in worship. But that step of faith this morning is that we need to step forward and tell God, I'm done. Enough. I'm going to take a step of faith. And I'm going to move forward. And I'm going to quit accepting all the junk. And I'm going to start accepting the truth that's going to take me to a higher plane of reality than the one I'm living in. So, Rachel, I'm going to ask you to pray over all of us.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm still on. That's a good thing. Well, Father, we just come before you this morning, and we just thank you that you have given us the power. God, that Satan, he doesn't have any power over us. Because we were bought with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray over anybody that may be in here this morning, God, that doesn't know about having a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would tug on their hearts, that you would speak to them, that they would know that they are perfectly and fully loved right where they are, right how they are, that they don't need to do anything. They don't need to fix themselves. They don't need to be perfect. God, that you didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. And Lord, I just thank you that you are in this place, that you are speaking to every heart, that you love us so much, God, more than we could ever imagine. And I pray that every single one of us would feel that love, that we would be overcome by it, that we would be changed by it. And Lord, I pray that you would give every single person in this room a plan to renew their mind, amen, that you would show it to them, that it would be personal to them, that whatever scripture it is that they need to meditate on, God, that they would do it. And I thank you for the dedication to do it, Lord. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would you be seated for just a moment? Praise the Lord. Give us a few more minutes. We're going to go over. I hope you don't mind, because this is very important to Pastor Rochelle and I in this moment and to North Elevation Church. As I spoke to you earlier, God spoke to me prophetically as Rachel walked through the door. Many of you may not know that Rachel is an ordained pastor, and the devil tried to take her out. And God intervened. Rachel is not here by accident. Rachel is here because we believe in her. We believe in the calling. We believe in the anointing. And today we're going to pray over Rachel as her covering here at North Elevation Church. As a pastor, you need coverings. We're going to be that covering. For the NEC family, you're going to see Rachel working amongst us and serving and doing. But also know that she is an ordained pastor and someone you can come to, who will pray for you, give wise counsel. It may have been 5 years ago, but what a powerful word this morning. God is with you, and we love you. We believe in you.
Thank you.
God's going to restore all. You have a home. You have a family. Church family loves you, and we're excited about what God's going to do in your life. And today we pray that covering over you. Yes. So I want you to pray.
Oh, we praise you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. You have proven your faithfulness over and over to Rachel, to all of us. But, Lord, in her life, in what she's been through, and in just in saving her life and keeping her from death, you have proven yourself faithful, oh God. And Lord, as she has hidden your word in her heart, you have put a fire in her bones that she would share the word, she would preach the word, she would teach the word, that your word is her life and your word will be come forth from her and it will make a world of difference in others' lives. Oh God, that you are using Rachel to speak truth and to cause people to no longer be in deception, but that they will see the truth and know the truth because of the truth that comes forth through your daughter. So, Lord, we thank you, oh God, that you've put this in her heart and you've put your word in her heart and you've given her a mind to speak and you've given her a heart to preach your word, oh God. And Lord, I thank you, O Lord, that you've anointed her for this purpose and that she is here on assignment. And we thank you, Lord, that that assignment will be completed. It will be fulfilled and that the devil may have his plots and plans and devices, but they are brought down and defeated because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Rachel has the victory through Jesus Christ, her Lord, no matter what she comes up against, no matter what comes against her. She always triumphs through Christ Jesus, her Lord, as we all do. If we will hold on to your word and if we will stand upon the promises of your word, we will always win. We will never lose because you are a great and mighty God, and no one or nothing can stand against you. And you have put your word in our hearts that we may know your word and stand upon your word and live a victorious life and to help others on the way. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're doing this with Rachel. You're doing these things for her, and that you are using her mightily for your glory and honor, O God. All that we do and all that we say is for your glory and honor, O God, not ours, but yours. And I thank you, O God, and that she now is covered by this body, by this, by Pastor Corey and I, that she is covered by North Elevation Church as a covering, a spiritual covering over her. And we dedicate her to this covering and ourselves to her, that we will be here for her whenever she needs us. In Jesus' name.
If you're a guest with us and you're not connected to a community of faith, I'm going to encourage you, if you didn't already get an orange bag, you stop by the Connection Center and pick one up. There's also a connection card. I would ask that you fill that out as much of it as you're comfortable in filling out. I promise you, you will not get 15 phone calls and a bunch of emails, but we'd like to know that you were here. So if you would do that, we would greatly appreciate it. Would you stand with me? Would you join us as guests and as members of North Elevation Church? We are not going to forget here the miracle of this building. I just can't get beyond the reality that when we gather together, we need to worship Him, shout, give Him thanks. This is a miracle from God. We don't have time to tell you the whole story for all of our guests, but I have this one thing to say. This is a gift from God. No man can take credit for it. God is faithful. Would you just worship Him with us today? Thank you, Father. We just magnify your name today. Thank you, Father God. Go in peace and be blessed today in Jesus' name.